Off the ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
Yes, hello there. So, busy night of Champions League ahead. We have PSG against Liverpool. We have Spurs against Inter. Just two of the games will be across this evening. Wednesday night rugby, we'll talk to two men who worked under Ireland's next head coach, Andy Farrell. So we'll hear from them. 53106, the text number. We are at Off the Ball on Twitter. Richie is here. Hello, Richie.
How are you, Joe?
And Kenny Cunningham's here.
Yeah, evening, Joe.
Wearing a hat in studio. It's fine by us, Kenny. Don't worry about it. You look like you're disguised in here.
I could be wearing a duvet in 10 minutes if it doesn't heat up. Are you
that sensitive to temperature?
If Joe allows it, the temperature to go up.
He's a bit of a...
Everybody's setting eggshells around him at the moment.
He's a stickler for the old temps.
He's a stickler for having his own way most of the time, I've noticed.
You know what he's like.
Yeah.
You are dressed like someone in disguise, honest to God. Do you not want to be recognised? I just identified you. It's Kenny Cunningham.
That emigreen tweed number on. Talking about being in disguise.
See, his problem is Ger forced him to go around town with an off the ball umbrella earlier on, so now he's just tired of being recognised.
I knew he speared about half a dozen people with that umbrella. Couldn't get it to fold in. It kept springing out and attacking
terrible
people.
Terrible PR for us. Just think about that. Kenny Cunningham injured several with an off the ball umbrella. Who'd be done for? It'd be worse than Ballybrack United.
Poor Ballybrack. Come on now.
Hardly.
That escalated very quickly for the Ballybrack boys, unfortunately.
I was getting texts from, the Ivan and Matt's show on TV3, Virgin Media TV last night.
Yeah.
God, can you come on and talk about the Ballybrack thing? I was like, busy presenting another show, but cheers anyway. It's suddenly became an international, it was on La Keep today, TalkSport were talking about it today.
No, it went viral. It was on BBC last night as well.
Has the story plateaued? Is anywhere to go with it?
I think we leave them be, don't we?
Fully exhausted.
And Fernando's taken it all in good humour as well, having seen some of his replies to the station today in particular. He's loving being in the spotlight as Fernando today.
Fernando hasn't taken massive offence.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, I heard him interviewed today and he said, I got a lot of attention because I'm alive, basically, was his phrase. So it's good to hear.
He's got to get an agent on board. He's got to roll with it, isn't it?
I'm a celebrity next year, maybe.
He's going in the jungle. Would you win the jungle?
Oh, never.
Would you not be buoyed by the profile boost that Harry's had in the last week and a half and go, I'll have a bit of that. I'll eat some fish eye.
I'm being deadly serious. I think you would be a revelation in the jungle. I think you would storm home. Honestly. I think you'd win by a landslide.
I think you'd win
by a landslide.
Yeah.
Harry's gone from outsider to favourite now to win, actually.
Really?
I'm not surprised. Harry's very likeable.
For the first time in a number, I haven't been on it this year, the I'm a Celebrity. I haven't really been tracking it.
You were big into it last year, was it?
I have been. Don't watch a huge amount of TV. That's probably the only,
You're not a big Maiden Chelsea fan?
No, wouldn't watch that. No, none of that stuff.
Is it because you're missing the Ant and Dec partnership? Because you always talk about how they're the best in the business.
Yeah, maybe so, subconsciously. I think they are very good as a pair. So maybe there's a little bit of that. Just circumstances, didn't watch the first cup. I know Harry's been in there, there's been a chit-chat about him. He seems to be...
Well, apparently, I haven't seen it either, to be honest. I'm in here talking to you most of the time.
I see stuff on Ireland AM and apparently he's doing well.
Very difficult to know how you behave, though, in that kind of environment. Easy to say, oh, he'd be great, but I'm not sure. Even the weight loss was interesting. I was reading a small bit about it. A couple of them had lost like 4 stone.
What?
In a week.
Yeah, that's impossible. You can't lose 4 stone.
4 stone in a week.
You did.
They'd shifted a huge amount of weight. So even that, physically and mentally, I'd suggest.
Oof.
How that would affect your mental state.
Well, boxers talk about being in the horrors from a mood point of view when they're trying to shift
weight. Jockeys even to a point in terms of things like that. And then in the environment, of the jungle environment as well, surrounded by people who are very quickly beginning to irritate you. Yeah.
It's tough. Not easy. I still think you'd do very well. I think you'd be okay.
I think you'd okay with a deck. I think you should have brought you in there, not Holly. What do you reckon?
Holly.
I'd love to see Joe could pull that off. Something like that. I'm a Celebrity.
Dano and Natai has been in touch.
Well done.
Never mind, I'm a Celeb. Would Kenny not prefer the psychological warfare of Big Brother? Kenny's a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, I do find me. Look, I'll never be in one of those things. Obviously, never be asked. That goes without saying.
I'd say you could be asked.
But in terms of that psychological, I do find it a little bit interesting. The jungle or those Big Brother, in terms of going in there and just kind of. Yeah, just pushing people's buttons a little bit. You know, going a bit dark here, obviously, but just getting in there and then starting to, you know, get inside people's head and start pressing a few buttons and just see how
they react.
Maybe to a small degree.
Do you do that in life? Some of the stuff you've said to me has been outrageous.
Just testing them.
Feel I've had a few prods today, actually. Funny enough. For your amusement. I'd love to see it in there. Hey, so I was going to ask you about Damien Duff's comments about underage football. He was on the RTE panel last night. The panels are having a good time. So there was Duffer last night in good form. And then Brian Kerr this evening on Virgin Media gave Graeme Souness a little education. He was talking about Spurs and their dodgy pitch.
They've had lots of problems this season. The stadium issue is definitely an issue. The fact that the pitch has been absolutely melodian as well too hasn't helped them.
What's it mean?
I said the pitch.
What's the word you use?
Oh, melodian. It means not very good. It's not Scottish Gaelic. It's a word. Anyway.
You won't hear that in Sky.
You will now.
The pitch hasn't been in rag order. That's another one for you. And the support has diminished as well because people have got a bit fed up. They paid for season tickets, expecting new ground. Yeah. They've stopped going to the matches a bit at home. So they've not been filling the top tier of the stadium by any means.
Cat Melodian.
The power of language.
It's very true.
It's great.
Melodian's a great word.
Wasn't there a bit of a, now that you say that, wasn't a bit of a rhyme I remember growing up? Skinny milling melodian legs?
Yeah, skinny milling melodian.
Is that melodian legs? Melodian legs. Yeah. Umbrella feet. When?
I'd be careful.
I shouldn't go anywhere. I can't remember.
As I can't remember. And
when
some of
the pictures?
I just feel there's going to be something bad.
No, well, let's see. Well, I don't know where that's going.
Well, just figure it out in your head first.
It is melodian though, isn't it? It is melodian.
Yeah, you don't want to end up in eeny, meeny, miny, moe territory.
No.
I'll leave it there. It just popped into my head when you said it.
Brian Kerr is
National treasure, Joe.
National treasure. Is there a better Dublin word than melodian? Really get your tongue around melodian.
Woges.
Woges isn't bad.
Woges is a class one. That's another care, isn't it?
I just literally Googled Dublin slang there to see what it would throw up. A goo.
Gizagiota.
No, like a craving for a drink. I have an awful goo on me. Morto.
Morto, yeah.
On your tobler.
The accent, you got to throw the accent in, Joe. Do it right.
On your tobler.
No.
He tried there, didn't he? He actually tried it there, didn't he?
Middle class Selbridge, can't do it.
No, as hard as he tries.
Rugby type.
It's a bit naff. There's some I can't read out, actually.
Like what?
Well, I'm not going to.
Give them a go.
No.
Test the waters with them, Joe.
There was...
He's too worried about his TV gig.
Joe Maxey is just a Dublin one, is it?
Joe Maxey for a taxi.
Yeah.
That's just pure Dublin, Joe Maxey.
That make it over to London?
No.
Had you heard of bungalow? Your man's a bungalow.
No.
No, that doesn't. What's that? That doesn't ring true.
Hinsey's an idiot because he's nothing upstairs.
Nah, that's made up.
Bungalow has
made up, isn't it? So, now someone's actually sat down and put that together.
It's on the list here.
Bungalow has no upstairs. It's not that there's nothing upstairs in the house.
Well, it says they have nothing upstairs. Same thing.
I'm not buying that. I'm not buying it.
But bungalow, there is no upstairs, Joe. The very definition of it.
That's the point.
No, it's not. A two-story house with nothing upstairs would be nothing upstairs.
All right. Way to ruin this segment. Cheers, mate. The Daniel Day is a good one.
Yeah, very good.
Yes, yeah.
Whoever dreamt that one up, handshake.
Yeah, that's natural. I like that.
Banjoed.
Yeah, banjoed.
You don't have to go through them all.
No, I'm not going through them all. There's about 30 of them here. All on the back of Melodian.
Very rare, it's not great radio.
All on the back of Brian Kerr. I get slaughtered for it, was what Duff was saying last night, Kenny. Interested for your thoughts on this. I presume you, like everybody who's made it as a footballer at Premier League level, just played football non-stop all the time. And Duff was talking, he sort of made this point before, that he's getting slaughtered because he insists that the kids train at least 5 times a week. He has them in 6 in the morning sometimes before school, getting their touches in. He said before in the Sunday Times, we did it on the pay-per-view a couple of months ago, and he basically said, some people talk about burnout. I'm talking about how you can't play enough. One of us is wrong, it's not me, was how Duff put it. He said it's dinosaur mentality when he gets slaughtered for having them. Sometimes he has them doing double sessions, so he might have them in 6 in the morning, then back 6 at night. Dinosaur mentality, you have to train 5 times a week. We went to play Chelsea during the season, so they train 7 times a week. Most teams here train twice a week, maybe three times. That's a problem already. Plus, you only do 6 months of football. For me, there should be another 4 months on top of that. They don't touch the ball enough, and that's an absolute fact. Like, Duff is absolutely talking about a player who wants to make a career in the game as opposed to someone who just wants to play football as part of a balanced life where they do other things, you know. Like, Duff would have these lads playing five, six, seven times a week to make it in the Premier League. You wouldn't be saying to Duff, oh, well, I've got piano lessons on Wednesday and then I'm doing my speech and drama and my swimming the other day, you know, that kind of thing. But if you want to make it, is what Duff's talking about, then it has to be five, six, 7 days a week.
No, I think that's a fair point, actually. People talk about contact hours with the football. And you're right, it's probably a generational thing in terms of, say myself at a young age, contact hours with the football was school, obviously me club football, and even in terms of on the field, on the green. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, obviously nothing. Some of it not particularly well structured, but in terms of contact hours, ball at your feet, touch, technical, all that type of things, there's plenty of that. So I think Damon's got a point in that regard.
He wants to make it more structured because your generation certainly, and I'd say our generation, Richie and I's generation, was maybe one of the last ones. I was probably like 10, 12 when PlayStations came in for the first time. So that's all exacerbated now. But we were out an awful lot kicking around. And I suppose Duff's argument would be with the current generation, really the vast, vast, vast majority of their football is structured. Whereas I would say from our generation and yours and behind, the majority of the football was actually not structured. It was just out in the green with the lads or whatever.
Well, that's a good thing, obviously, because Damon's got them. As soon as Damon gets them into the football club, then he's in control in terms of the quality, you know, the quality of the session that he's actually putting on. So, yeah, it's a combination of both good quality coaching and getting the right amount of hours. Mm. And it's no bad thing. I agree. I hear Damon speak quite a little bit. I think it's not a bad little thing, just in terms of just a little bit more of a hardened atmosphere around the kids. Like you're saying, very mollycoddled these days, the kids, picked up, brought here, picked up, brought back. So just in terms of kind of mentality of the players, even in terms of like maybe drag them out of their beds at the hours in the morning, even in terms of how you deal with them on a one-to-one basis. I mean, 15 years of age for me is the time when they need to start learning about the game. Yeah, they're still, it's all about developing players as you go along, but 15, 16, 17, for me, you've got to start laying it on the line.
The intricacies involved.
Yeah, but look, professional, you want to be a professional footballer, you want to survive in a professional landscape, well, you better harden up to what's coming down the road at you over the next 2 or 3 years. So just a little bit of that, and how do you deliver that to the players, maybe in terms of how you walk them, how you treat them, how you speak to them. That's not so much, oh, would you mind, do you think maybe we should, let's ask your parents. You know, you've got to get away from that a little bit. You've got to harden them up a little bit if they're going to survive in a professional environment. So
that will be described as quite an old school.
No, I don't think so, because I'm saying good structured training session, good quality coaching. But just a little sprinkling of that as well on top, I don't think is any bad, because you're not doing the kids any favours, because they're going to be in that kind of sheltered environment, 16, 17, 18, 19. They're going to step out of youth football into whatever it is, under 23s, reserve, into a man's game, and they're not going to know what's hit them, you know, physically, mentally, what's coming their way. So I think you've got to prepare young kids for that to a certain extent as well. So a combination of both. And I've no problem to a large extent what Damon talks about, particularly with the hours. And if you can only get that very early, I mean, for the parents, obviously must
be a nuisance.
Nuisance, obviously, but the principle in terms of getting the players in and getting the hours together, no, I've no problem with it at all.
Mm, okay, we'll go on to the news round. It's brought to you this evening with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade, a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. And Robbie Keane has, I suppose, made an announcement that we all expected.
Absolutely no surprise to learn the Republic of Ireland's record goal scorer has formally announced his retirement at the age of 38. Robbie Keane today called time on his playing career after being appointed as a coach under returning Ireland manager Mick McCarthy. The Talamant scored 68 times in his Ireland career and on over 300 occasions at club level. Keane spent the majority of his career with Tottenham, but also had spells at the likes of LA Galaxy, Coventry, Inter, Liverpool, Leeds and Celtic. His final club was the Indian Premier League outfit ATK. One of his former strike partners at Tottenham, Mido, was today asked about Keane's retirement.
Oh, what a man. Great character and a great player, of course. One of the best that I played with. It's been a great pleasure to play with him. And I wish him a happy retirement. And it's great that he's getting into the management straight away. I think it's a great step for him.
Jeez, Mido. Yeah. I haven't heard from Mido in a long time.
And he's looking well, I have to say, as well.
Is he?
He shed a few pounds as well.
He had issues, didn't he?
At the time. A little bit, yeah.
He sounds like a gent.
Been in the jungle, is he? Couple of stone, shifted a bit.
4 stone in a week. Can we get, do we double check?
Can't lose 4 stone. That's literally impossible.
That's what I read.
I mean,
literally, you read saying it's literally impossible.
Four stone in a week.
It's unlikely. You mean to say it's unlikely.
Well, unless you lop off a couple of legs.
Are you sure you didn't read 4 kgs or something?
4 stone. Have you seen the size of a few of them?
Who lost 4 stone in a week?
Oh, look, no one's lost 4 stone in a week.
I'm not going to get personal about the pizza.
It's not personal if it's a fact.
There's a few big lumps in there.
But which of them lost
4 stone? No harm.
4 stone.
That's not the point. 4 stone in a week.
Yeah.
Are you thinking?
There you go.
Think
there
about
you
it.
Go. Rice and beans.
So, Robbie Keane. You trained against him and you marked him in matches, I'm sure, as well. Did he give you much bother?
Well, generally, Robbie would have been on my team quite a bit in the old five of us, because obviously Dublin beat the rest of the...
Oh, yeah.
So it worked, yeah.
Oh, yeah, so sound, you know what I mean? I wouldn't have had to...
Deal with that. You wouldn't have wanted Jordy, that?
Yeah.
You didn't want that?
Yeah.
What about in the Premier League?
No, I wouldn't train. We all know Robbie's qualities. I don't have to sit here and list his qualities. But the clubs there that you rolled off, I mean, what a great career. I mean, having the opportunity to play clubs at that level, I mean, Tottenham, Liverpool, even early on, I remember doing a...
I don't want to be harsh in his career, because I agree, it's a great career. But Inter and Liverpool, yes, he was there, but it never happened for him.
No, it didn't. That's true. Like, that's true. But still, to spend time in that kind of environment,
sure.
Joe, amongst those players, it's elite. That's real elite, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And ideally, yeah, you want to go in there, hit the ground running, play as many games as you can. It's not going to be the case at every club you go to, but to have that kind of experience... Different countries, Inter Milan as well was phenomenal. He made that move to Inter Milan, I just couldn't believe it.
The list of strikers ahead of him was ridiculous, though. I mean, he barely got a look in, but it was insane. He was on Soccer Box with Gary Neville recently. Did you ever watch that?
No.
Neville sort of sits there and watches matches back of the guest he's with.
Right, yeah.
And he had Robbie Keane recently, and he listed off the strikers who were ahead of him at Inter at that time. We might just Google
Vieri, Christian Vieri.
Yeah, Vieri was one of them. Yeah,
Zamorano was probably still there at that stage of the thing, too.
Might well have been... Ronaldo was gone, was he?
Strikes me that Ronaldo would have been gone by that stage.
Was he gone?
I think he was gone.
He might have been just gone. There was two or three names that were just, wow, I'd forgotten. How could they all be in the same squad? And you thrown in behind them. And then the manager who bought him left as well. So he was saying, look, it was a bit of a car crash, really. Time wasn't good. I'd love to have gone over a bit older. And certainly with Liverpool, I think he's just a bit annoyed. You know, Neville asked him, do you feel like you were Benitez's signing? And he's like, don't know. Never asked him.
Yeah,
wasn't given much of a chance. Like, he talked about early on being thrown out on the left wing, and as he said himself, if there's one thing I'm not, it's a winger, you know. And even Neville was joking, saying, "No, I'd love to have marked you. You know, you wouldn't be a winger." So he never really got a fair crack at Liverpool.
I could always
sense the regret in it.
Yeah, there'll always be those small regrets. Every career, Joe.
But what he did at Spurs and Leeds, and I mean, and obviously, look, I mean, arguably his greatest achievements were with Ireland. It's absolutely ridiculous what he did.
Yeah, no, goal scored is absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, 68 goals for Ireland. That'll never be beaten.
You couldn't see it, not in our lifetime.
Where's your retirement statement? Can we dig that out?
You still haven't retired, technically, you were saying, have you? You're still available. You're close to issuing a come and get me plea.
Yeah, I suppose if you don't actually, verbally, if you don't come out, you're not officially, does that mean you're not officially retired if you don't put a written or a verbal?
I think you're eligible for selection would be the phrase, yeah. Do you want to retire on the show? We can have a tribute show to you, though. Go on, announce your retirement.
To be honest with you, Joe, I think I actually retired 2 years before I actually finished playing, in all honesty. If you watch some of the quality performance in the last couple of years, I might as well have.
Yeah. We're trying to grab a list here of the strikers who were at Inter.
I have them here. Christian.
It was a left footer.
Christian Vieri, Alvaro Recoba.
Ah, Recoba.
Who could open a tin of beans with his left foot.
Yeah.
Hakan Şükür was there that year as well.
Yeah.
Zamorano was there but left. It's not necessarily as stacked as it looked. Like the likes of Antonio Pacheco in there got a couple of games. Marco Ferrante, Corrado Colombo. Aside from that,
name.
You know,
it's Corrado. You say Corrado Colombo.
If you had hung in there, like seeing off the likes of Hakan Şükür, wouldn't have been beyond the realms of possibility.
Şükür, Vieri, Recoba. I mean, for what age was he going over? It was 97. I mean, he was a teenager.
Yeah.
He was young as well. You're
18,
right.
19.
Yeah.
Try and deal with the language and Vieri.
Robbie had remarkable confidence.
Yeah.
I remember like it was coming over to Ireland for some reason. I think he'd done a show. We were coming over to a game. We came over early. It might have been some. talk show in Dublin, and I came with him. I don't know why, it might have been to hold his hand, literally. Robbie's might be only 17, but Robbie's confidence was amazing in his own ability. And I never had that at an early age, and I did used to look at Robbie. I could understand to a point in terms of the ability that he had. Of course, that would give you confidence. But even players with kind of great individual skill don't have. Duffers didn't have it, that kind of self-confidence. He was a wonderful player at an early age, but he didn't have it. A little bit insular, not overly confident himself, you know, but unbelievable ability. But Robbie was different. I mean, just Robbie, the way he carried himself and that little bit of a strut, shoulders out, even from a very young age.
Yeah.
Amazing, really.
And well-liked initially when he had that strut and he arrives on the scene with the strut, or did people think, hang on, who's this?
Oh, no, the lads loved him.
Okay.
Because, like, you back it up, that's the thing. You come in with the strut and start giving the billy, you know.
But really,
you
big time.
Yeah, you can't back it up then, you know, you fall flat on your face, but, you know, you get ridiculed, but he could back it up and always did.
Yeah. There was Niall Quinn told the story in his book where it was early on when Keane was in the camp and he was just warming up before training. They're doing loads of tricks, and he said that Robbie caught, Quinn said, me looking at him, and he knew I was looking at him. And then I don't know where he starts going, watch this old man, can you do this old man, and starts doing all the flicks and tricks. Do you want to try that old man? And again, Quinn sort of said, you couldn't but love him. But it's a tight word. It's a tight rope to walk, that kind of strut.
Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah, but. Yeah, but he had it. He had it, Robbie. And it was amazing because he didn't, like, maybe as an athletic, he didn't spend a huge amount of time in the gym. Robbie stretched a little bit, like, he was really good could stretch, you could tell, like, very supple and things like that.
Right.
But wasn't overly interesting in terms of time, physical condition, the gym, that type of thing. He wouldn't have been the quickest over, like, 20 yards and saying, you know, we'd all race in straight lines and that type of thing, you know what I mean? But
great instincts.
Yeah, game on. Yeah. But, you know, right, lads, game on here, instinctive stuff. And just in terms, Robbie never struck me as somebody particularly coached. We never were growing up in Dublin. Even Robbie's younger than me. I never got the feeling Robbie particularly been well coached. Schoolboy football in Dublin, parents, or whoever it was, you come, you do your bit. Yeah. But in terms of real quality coaching, we never got it. But Robbie, some of the movements that he made, like taking to the ball, spinning in behind, just dropping his shoulder, finding little pockets of space, playing on the half turn, that kind of instinctive stuff. It was amazing. Had at such a young age, like, you just see things early, sense situations, where he needed to be, when he had to play one, two touch. It's fantastic.
That's why, actually, funny, I'm very curious to see how he might or might not be able to pass on that knowledge verbally or even on
a
training
ground
with the player. Like, I think it'll be tough for him in a way.
Yeah, it's not a given, you know, it isn't a given, because coaching is a skill set in itself, and those type of things, instinctive stuff, you know what I mean? That's exactly what it is, instinctive. They just don't give it any thought.
Yeah.
I think sometimes as a coach, you got to take a step back and try and, you know what I mean? You got to think it through.
Will that be more difficult?
And to break that down, to kind of, you know what I mean, pass it on to people and simplifying the structure.
Yeah.
That's not a given. It's not easy, but I'm sure Robbie will.
Will that be more difficult given the fact that he never worked consistently under one coach? You know, we see a lot of players who worked under one serious manager for 5, 6, 7 years.
Yeah.
Given the way he moved around, given the way even at Tottenham, the way they chopped and changed the managers, he never had one set, I suppose, teacher to learn from.
Yeah, but that's not a bad thing. I think, no, I'd flip it the other way, Rich, to be honest with you. Different managers coming in, foreign managers as well, going over to Italy, Italy as well, and between strikers over there in terms of quality, the movement. So, one thing I was really exposed to early on, I played for Ireland, playing against international teams, the quality, the movement, types of movement that I was seeing. I never saw it. In England, you know, straight up and down, running in behind, coming short the plane, that was pretty much it.
Yeah.
These lads and some of the movements where they took you around the pitch, it was phenomenal. So for me, actually, in terms of better experience with different coaches, throwing different things at you, you know, obviously you've got to have the intelligence to absorb all of these things and put it into your game.
Yeah.
But if Robbie's done that, well, then no better man to be sitting down with those strikers in the squad at the moment, up and coming lads coming into the squad, looking for that type of direction for Robbie to be there to pass on that information.
No, it's true. Well, he's getting plenty of plaudits today, as you might imagine. Sorry, one last tangent and all that thing, because that's literally our first story and we need to get through some other stories. When you talk about the movement of the other international teams as opposed to, I guess, Irish and British movement, it strikes me you're implying that Irish and British movement wasn't that sophisticated as opposed to European movement or South American movement, that they were giving you tougher questions as a defender as opposed to British and Irish movement, or was...
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I found that, you know, you speak to over the years, start speaking to people who played abroad and different things, and different lads from abroad used to come in to tell you about, and you lads who played some time on the continent, and you got a bit of an inkling that, yeah, from a very young age forwards, you know, almost like being in school, in terms of really structure, in terms of their movement, what was expected up the pitch, areas to bring defenders.
Yeah.
You know, And I didn't see a huge amount of that in relation to young forwards at the clubs I was at early on. Didn't see, you know, make yourself available, make it stick, drop off, spin in the box, you know, basic kind of stuff. All well and good, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it was different. There was another layer on it when I came up against these strikers who played on your shoulder. You know, couldn't see you. They're always outside your peripheral vision.
Right.
Never came and stood in front of you where you could see them on the ball. We're always there, 4 or 5 yards to your right hand. So you always had to go looking for them. You know, had to take your eye off the ball to go looking for them, knowing you had to take your eye to go back to the ball.
Yeah.
And that split second then, they'd be on the move across you. Little things like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, totally.
Pretty clever.
Yeah. A nightmare to play against. There's been a raft of people in touch with us about the weight loss situation in I'm a Celebrity. So you were saying somebody lost 4 stone.
This is what I read.
You read wrong.
Sorry, do you want to take that back?
They've lost 4 stone combined.
Which not is one person.
No way. I didn't read that. I didn't read it wrong. That's how it was written. I read it right.
Hey, lad, the 4 stone was combined weight loss of the whole camp, Louise. And then we have what looks to me like a Daily Mail article in. Oh, I'm a Celebrity. Stars have lost 4 stone after a week on basic rations, with Nick Knowles and Harry Redknapp amongst the biggest losers. And you took that as ambiguous.
You could take that anyway, couldn't you?
No, you literally
stars
can't.
Stars have lost 4 stone.
No, it says collectively.
No, it didn't say collectively. Did you say collectively?
Collectively, the whole camp between them. Everyone combined.
You've added that between them. You've added that now. You've added that.
No, the article literally says.
So ambiguous. That is so ambiguous.
That's literally the opposite of ambiguous.
Oh, that's poor writing, that. That's sloppy. That's sloppy writing. Sloppy journalism.
Lazy journalism.
It is.
It is, yeah, it is. Okay. 4 stone in a week. They'd be in intensive care.
They'd be dead.
Okay. So the games tonight then?
Liverpool walking a tightrope in Paris tonight. A win away to PSG would see Jurgen Klopp's side assured of a last 16 spot, but defeat would leave them desperately scrambling for a win at home to Napoli in a fortnight. Liverpool make 2 changes from the weekend, with Trent Alexander-Arnold and Jerdan Shaqiri dropping out of the side. Into the side come Jorginho Wijnaldum, James Milner and Jordan Henderson in midfield. Joe Gomez starts at right full with Dejan Lovren in the centre of defence alongside Virgil van Dijk. Both Kylian Mbappe and Neymar fit for PSG tonight. That kicks off at 8, as does the other Group C encounter of Napoli and Red Star Belgrade. Meanwhile, Tottenham are in more urgent need of a victory, with Inter visiting Wembley in Group B tonight. A couple of changes for Spurs as well. Hugo Lloris starting in goal. Back four, Serge Aurier, Toby Alderweireld, Jan Vertonghen and Ben Davies. Harry Winks and Moussa Sissoko start in midfield. There's no Christian Eriksen. He's on the bench with Eric Lamela, Dele Alli and Lucas Moura in behind Harry Kane. Elsewhere, leaders Barca away to PSV Eindhoven in Group
B. We'll talk about those games in a couple of minutes' time.
5:55 kickoff at the Wanda Metropolitano in Group A, where it's currently Atletico Madrid 2, Monaco 0. Monaco continuing to struggle under Thierry Henry in Europe. Borussia Dortmund will secure their last 16 spot with a point at home to Bruges tonight. Also, a 5:55 start in Moscow, where Lokomotiv lead Galatasaray by 2-0. That result will be good enough to see Schalke confirmed as the other side to go through from that group. They play Porto from 8. Meanwhile, interesting news today from the heads of the Oireachtas. An Oireachtas committee wants to call in FAI boss John Delaney to discuss the governance of the organisation. The Committee on Transport, Tourism and Sport agreed to write to Delaney today, asking him to appear before TDs and senators. It follows a request from TD Catherine Murphy to discuss the governance and strategies of the FAI, as well as challenges domestically and internationally. Other senior members of the FAI may also be called in to give evidence, with a meeting likely to happen in the new year.
That'll be interesting viewing. If it is anything like the last time he was in with Padraig Duffy and Philip Brown, it won't be worth watching. It was an embarrassment. I mean, we spent a good half hour in the show talking about just how awful it was that time.
Yeah, they'd clearly gone in with having the three of them there at the one time was a complete nonsense and a complete fudge.
Just all over the shop.
Nothing was touched upon, but the fact that this seems more focused on the FAI.
Yeah, no, it does. There was just a bunch of politicians in there who hadn't even talked to each other about how they were going to go about it. Just random questions here and there. And John, would you say the Qatar thing will be okay, or in the end, what do you think?
It's pretty accurate, that, actually. That's better than your Dublin voice.
That's a far better idea. Far better than that Dublin attempt earlier.
I can do Dublin voice, no problem for you. I'll ambush it with you. I'm not doing it on the spot for you, though.
Okay.
But you'll get it, Kenny, don't worry. But it was dreadful the last time, so we'll see how he gets on this time.
The proposed rule changes in football, Gaelic football that is, may not make it as far as next year's Allianz Leagues. Following a meeting today of the GAA and GPA officials, they've agreed to further review the changes after January's provincial pre-season competitions. GPA membership, as we mentioned before, strongly against some of the rule changes, with 96% opposed to the limit to
three consecutive hand passes. The proposals will now be reviewed at the next scheduled meeting of the GAA or Corlia, and that is on January the 19th.
So the pre-season competitions will have the new proposed rules, and then they'll decide whether or not to put them in the league.
Pretty much.
Okay. Yeah. I think that was always going to be the case anyway, actually.
Yeah, they've basically clarified it, I think, today. They've formalised that plan today. Meanwhile, Roscommon members of the Club Players Association are seeking an urgent meeting with GAA Director General Tom Ryan. They say they're disgusted and disappointed by GAA Central Council's rejection of Roscommon's blank canvas motion last weekend. The motion in question called for a select committee to conduct an overall review of the National Games programme, but received just 4 votes in favour. Roscommon members of the CPA say the Central Council decision was, quote, a clear sign of contempt, leaving them both angry and frustrated.
The 4 stone thing's kicking off. We'll leave it be.
Who's on about it?
Well, somebody just wants to know what would happen to you physically if you lost 4 stone in a week. Could you survive it?
Depends where your starting point is.
It would really, yeah.
Kenny, like we're talking about,
I couldn't lose. Obviously, you're carrying a bit of timber. For me, as long as you're taking your water on board, you're kind of fully hydrated during the process. I think so.
You do well to lose 4 stone a week. Like
you need to have a rower in the jungle and a treadmill. I think that's all the thing as well.
I don't think not eating would be enough to lose 4 stone.
No, I think you're probably right. A little bit of aerobic activity.
And did that not occur to you when you read the piece? No.
Did you not go 4 stone? It's not.
So badly written. So it's just open. So much open to interpretation.
Can you not just admit you're wrong?
Where did you read this?
Have a guess where I read it.
Not sure I showed out loud. Dave Massey booked the trend at Dundalk this week by signing a new contract at Oriel Park. The left-back has penned a 2-year extension with the double winners. Massey was one of former manager Stephen Kenny's first signings at the club way back in the mists of time in 2013.
Have you seen much of Massey? Really good player.
Yeah, a couple of great signings there. Sean Gannon was the same when he got into 2 full-backs there. I think they've been great for the last couple of years.
Yeah, remarkably consistent.
There was a time when Stewie Byrne was saying that Massey was very, very close to deserving a place in the Irish squad.
Yeah,
And we weren't overly full at left back either.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Enda Stevens was the same. I mean, Enda was playing well at Rovers at the time, and there was a couple of little mentions. He's playing well, he deserves a mention, boom, boom, boom. Mm. Oh, some people, Of course, he drops
boom,
over
boom.
To England.
Wah, wah, wah.
Heads over to England.
Elogian.
Bounces around, and then all of a sudden, he's in, and people talking about actually being a starter for all the next March. Got a good chance of making the start in 11. And rightly so, you can make a strong argument for it. So, people, it's too quick to talk down players.
Just because of
in early. Exactly. They're in the league. They're in the league for a reason.
Yeah.
A big step up. Boom, boom, boom. But don't get carried away. Like, just look at the individual quality which they have. Give another example. Ronan Curtis.
Yeah.
Right? Saw Ronan Curtis play for Derry at Derrymount Park not too long ago, only in the summer a few months ago, just before he went off to Portsmouth. Had a look at him and thought, lad's got real ability. You could see he was being linked with Portsmouth.
He was linked with Ostersunds
a couple of clubs.
Town, yeah.
Yeah, so he's nowhere near the senior squad. Absolutely nowhere. No one was even talking about him in the same breath as being in the international squad. He's gone to Portsmouth and won about a month, started the season well. Within a month, he's in a professional squad.
Yeah.
Now, that lad is the same player in a Portsmouth jersey than he was with Derry a couple of months ago.
Sure.
But now suddenly, people look at him and view him the same. Oh, he's different. Yeah. He's playing in England. He's playing at a better level. We've got to consider him. And I don't understand that. Yeah, players can go over. They can become better. They can improve themselves. And over a period of time, then they can be ready to bounce international football.
I think it's fair.
Some players, they're good examples of what we should take lads that aren't seriously playing in this league.
Boom, boom, boom. Next Friday, December 7th, I should tell you, we're going to be live from the home of Dolphin Rugby Club. So Musgrave Park for the latest Off the Ball Road Show in association with Heineken Rugby Club. We'll be previewing Munster's Heineken Champions Cup clash with Cass that weekend in the company of some Dolphin and Munster legends. If you want to be there too, you can go to offtheball.com/events. So that's the latest Off the Ball Road Show in association with Heineken Rugby Club. We're back in just a second.
Off the Ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie, championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.